Good afternoon. Came up here a minute ago and I was like, I had to check my zipper, you know. You want to get up in front of everybody, you always got to make sure everything's zipped up. There was an old man wondering if his wife had a hearing problem. So one night he stood behind her while she was sitting in her recliner and he spoke softly to her. Honey, can you hear me? He got no response, so he moved just a little bit closer. And he said, honey, can you hear me? Still, no response. He got right up behind her, and he was just inches away from her ear, and he said, honey, can you hear me? And she said, for the third time, yes. Sometimes I think we as believers do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tries to talk to us, and we don't always listen to him. Maybe we didn't like the answer we got, so we ignore him. Maybe we're just too plain busy. Time just gets away from us, and we just never take the time. Or maybe we think we know more. Maybe our pride gets in the way. We let too many things distract us from hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say. So my question for you today is, are you a self-empowered fan, or are you a spirit-filled fanatic follower? I think it's safe to say that every one of us in here would want to say we're a fanatic follower. A fan is someone who cheers on their favorite team, and a follower is someone who is part of the team. We all want to be on that team, but in reality, there are many times where I fall short of that. Does the word spirit-filled make you feel a little uncomfortable? And if so, why? Have you ever known someone who you think are a little too charismatic? Or maybe you might say they're a fanatic? Think about the disciples. What did the people say about them? How were they perceived? If Jesus came by your office today in the workplace and said, hey, why don't you just give up your job and come and follow me, and I'll show you how to make fishers of men, would you go? What would your co-workers say about you? What would your family say? What would your wife say when you go home and tell her, hey, honey, I just quit my job and I'm going to follow this guy. He says he's the Messiah. And that's just like, in the world, it's hard to even think that. It's hard to even picture that. What would your friends say about that? Well, that's what the disciples did. They followed Jesus. They were with him every day for about 3 years. They seen amazing things. But then 3 years later, when it was time for Jesus to go, he said, I'm going away to the one who sent me. In fact, it is best for you because the advocate will come if I leave. Now, okay, you quit your job to follow this guy, and you followed him for 3 years, and now he's leaving you? Now how would you feel? You've been with this man day and night, learning from him, and he's always, you know, whenever he's around, it's like you got this power, you got this strength, you got this security, you got this confidence. And he's telling you he's leaving, and he's saying someone else is going to come and take care of you. Your friends have already labeled you as a fanatic. Now what are you going to, but then something special happens in the upper room. The presence of the Holy Spirit comes upon you and empowers you. All of a sudden, you've never felt better. So why don't we take, as Christians today, why don't we take advantage of this awesome gift Jesus gave us? Why is it that I fail daily on receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit? Fans who try to follow Jesus without his power will start to show signs of exhaustion and frustration. Sooner or later, they will reach a point where you are frustrated by your failures. You keep doing what you don't want to do, and you don't do the things you really need to do. You promise yourself that you will change this time. Anybody ever said that? I'll change this time, Lord. Just one more time. Just give me one more time. I'll change this time. Things are going to be different, and I really meant it. But it always seems like the changes rarely last more than a few days. You lie awake at night and promise yourself, never again. Never again will I lose my temper. Never again will I go to the website. Never again will I take another drink. Never again will I lust after that woman. The list goes on and on. Never again. And guess what? Sooner or later, you're lying awake making those same promises over and over again. Never always comes back. It just doesn't work when you're a self-empowered fan. When you try to follow Jesus without being filled with Him daily, I mean, this is the daily thing, guys. We can't just say, Holy Spirit, come in here, and we're empowered for the rest of our lives. This is something, we're going to have hard times. We're going to have times where we're going to have to get on our knees and ask God to give us more, because we're going to need it. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit filling us daily. Francis Chan once said, Christians can't ever lose the Spirit, but His filling is something we should all pursue. So every one of us in this room should be pursuing God, pursuing the Holy Spirit to fill us up. It's kind of like a pilot light in a fireplace or an oven. You know, that pilot light's always there. It's always on. But it doesn't really do anything until we turn that dial or flip that switch. It does nothing. It just, little flame is all it is. There's barely any heat off of it. I mean, if you stuck your finger in it, you might get burned a little bit, but it's not going to do nothing until you flip that switch, guys. We have to learn how to flip that switch. We all have access to it, but few never use it. The pilot light is always ready and waiting to take action. So the Holy Spirit's there. He's waiting to take action in your life. In Ephesians 5:18 it says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's going to give you a whole lot better buzz than being drunk is. You know, and I've experienced a lot of that growing up. You know, my dad, he was an alcoholic, so I know what that side of it's like. You know, my mom was a Spirit-filled, believing Christian, and she prayed for my dad for, I mean, I was 20, probably 20 years old when my dad quit drinking, and I was out of high school, and my mom came to me and said, Rob, I've been praying. I really feel like this is what God wants me to do. I really feel like I'm going to go talk to your dad. If he's not going to change, I'm going to leave him. And of course, I'm like, yeah, okay, Mom, sure, whatever. Not even thinking she would do it. I didn't think she had the guts to do it. And the day came. My mom set up an intervention. He didn't show up. And she went to him that night and told him she was leaving him. And he said, his words to her were, well, you got to do what you got to do. If that's what you think you need to do, I got control of this. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what did my mom just do? What in the world? Everybody in my family was telling my mom, what did you just do? And so then she went away for the night, and she was still in prayer. She had people praying for her. You know, it was all the family members that were all mad at her. It wasn't the believers that were standing behind her. It was all the family members that didn't understand where she was. She was a fanatic to them. And the next day, or she kind of second-guessed herself, so she went back to the house, and my dad had changed all the locks on the house. She could not get in the house, and he was back up at the tavern. And so she did not go back in. Had my dad not changed those locks, though, my mom would have been back in that house. I know that, and I know my mom, that was a point in my mom's weak spot, but she had been praying and fasting for this, that God knew best, and for some odd reason, my dad got mad and went and changed all the locks. So she goes back to the other place and goes to work the next day. And about noon, my dad calls my mom and says, I think I'm ready to go get help. And my dad has been a Christian ever since. He's been sober. Him and my mom have a model relationship of a marriage. Some of you know my parents, and they are involved in their church heavily. But had my mom not been praying daily with the Spirit, praying for God to take them and change their lives, where would my dad be today? He probably wouldn't be here. He probably would have been, something would have happened. He would have been drunk, drank, and drove home and had a wreck or something. You never know. But my mom put up with that for 20 years. Why didn't she do that years ago? It's because it wasn't right. God has the right time for it. And you can't find those divine appointments if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. Well, how do we become a Spirit-filled fanatic follower? A follower is someone who's part of the team. You cannot be a successful follower without the Holy Spirit, which is the coach. If I were to give you guys Super Bowl tickets, would you guys go? Of course you would. Who wouldn't, right? Does that make you part of the team? Don't worry, I don't have any, so. No, it doesn't make you part of the team. It only makes you a fan, not a follower. To be on the team, you have to practice and practice and practice and practice. Hours upon hours. All the heat, all the sweat, all the pain. And just maybe for one main play, you may have to practice over and over and over again till you get it right. They sacrifice their time. Time with their family. Time with going out with the guys. Whatever you count important, they had to sacrifice to beat. The Patriots had to sacrifice to win the Super Bowl. They sacrificed. And a follower is like being on a team. The Holy Spirit will ask you to sacrifice your selfish desires. Because we all have them. Every one of us in here has desires, selfish desires, and God knows best. A fan does not get kicked, knocked down like a follower does. When a fan gets hit, he might say, well, maybe next time. Being a fan costs you nothing, but being a follower costs you everything. It costs the disciples everything. When a follower gets hit, guess what he does? He gets right back up and does it again until he gets it right. Here are some people that have failed, and they just kept getting up and going. Abraham Lincoln. Well, today he's remembered as one of the greatest leaders of our nation. Lincoln wasn't so easy. Lincoln's life wasn't so easy. In his youth, he went to war as a captain and returned as a private. If you're not familiar with the military ranks, just know that a private is the lowest you can go. Lincoln didn't stop failing there. However, he started numerous failed businesses and was defeated numerous times in the public office before he became president. Winston Churchill is another one. The Nobel Prize winning, twice elected Prime Minister of the United Kingdom wasn't always well regarded as he is today. Churchill struggled in school and failed the sixth grade. After school, he faced many years of political failures as he was defeated in every election for public office until he finally became the Prime Minister at the ripe old age of 62. So I'm only 43, so I still got some time here. Babe Ruth is another one. Did you know that Babe Ruth, well, his winning career, he made the most 714 home runs. But you know how many strikeouts he had? 1,330 in all of his whole career. For decades he held the record for strikeouts. When he was asked, he simply said, "Every strike brings me closer to the next home run." Imagine when you get to heaven, what it'll be like when you get to walk down the streets of gold, and you might see David along the way, and you might say, "David, what was it like to win the battle? What was it like to be known as a man after God's own heart?" Or another one of my favorites is Gideon. He had 32,000 men to start out with. God knocked him down to 10. Then God knocked him down to 300 men. And he still won the battle. It doesn't matter in numbers, guys. It matters if we have the Holy Spirit with us or not. But you know what? If we're walking down there, I don't know that they're going to probably ask us that question. They're going to want to know about our lives. You know, in the Old Testament, God was with them. But in the New Testament, God is in us. And they're going to say, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit living in you? How did it feel? What did He do for you? Now, we as Christians can have Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite disciples, I guess all of them have extraordinary stories, but one of them is Peter, you know. Here this man was, he was with God, or Christ, and he gets taken away in the garden. Well, now Peter's he's don't know what to do. So when people start asking him, he starts denying Christ. He starts telling, I don't know him. I never knew him. You're crazy. He did not want to be known because he didn't have that support. But you know what? After he got filled with the Holy Spirit in that upper room, several years later, when it was time for him to be crucified, he stood up for Christ and he said, don't hang me like Christ. Hang me upside down. I don't want to be hung like, I'm not worthy enough to be hung like Christ. There's a big difference between before he had the Holy Spirit and after they had the Holy Spirit. I want that kind of power in me. So many people get uptight and offended when we talk about the Holy Spirit. This is where we need to be led by the Spirit and what the Spirit tells us to do. Sometimes it will require being quiet, and sometimes it may require us being a fanatic follower. If you want to be a part of the team and be a fanatic follower, there will be pain. No pain, no gain. There will be sacrifice. You will have to die to yourself daily. This isn't a one-day thing. This is a lifelong thing. This is for eternity. For the human eyes, this might sound frightening. But once you receive the Holy Spirit, something changes on the inside of you. Something empowers you. You receive power spiritually. You receive wisdom. You receive knowledge. You receive understanding like you've never had before when you receive that Holy Spirit daily. But first you have to take that first step of faith. It's asking Him to help you every day of your life whenever you get out. It's like back here in this room, back here, praying for the Holy Spirit to be in this room so that He can minister to not just you guys, but He's ministering to me just by doing this. I mean, just me preparing to talk, it's ministered to me. Then you will see, you'll feel empowered by the Almighty Presence, which is the Holy Spirit. I've made plenty of mistakes, guys, but you know what I do? I just keep practicing. I just keep going. When things look bad, I just keep pushing. The Patriots just didn't show up and win the Super Bowl game. They practiced and practiced, and they made lots of mistakes. But even though they made mistakes, there's one thing they didn't do. They didn't give up. So many of us in our walk with the Lord, if things don't go right, we want to just give up and throw in the towel and blame it everybody else. And we just got to keep fighting. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. I was probably 20 when I got married. I had a daughter. As soon as I got married, she got pregnant before we got married, so we got married, and marriage didn't last very long. After she had the baby, she wanted to go somewhere else, and so I let her, and that went on for a few months, and then she'd come back, and so finally we separated, and we got a divorce. She got custody. But it seemed like I always had my daughter, which was not a problem. I was blessed. I was thanking the Lord for that. But here I was, a young kid, just starting out, trying to make ends meet, trying to get everything together, and I was having to pay her support. And I was like, Lord, I just can't. I just have a bad attitude about this. She's out doing what she wants to do, not even using the money for my daughter. And I wasn't praying for anything but for me to have a better attitude. I was like, Lord, I was on my knees. I was like, you got to help me, Lord. You got to help me. And all of a sudden, a still small voice in my prayer, I was kneeling at my bed. I can remember it today. He said, don't worry about it. You're not going to be paying that support in 30 days. I'm like, that's all I got. So I knew by faith I needed to receive that. So I went to work, and I told a guy that I worked with what was going on, and he thought I was a fanatic. How are you going to get that to happen? That's unheard of. I said, dude, I don't know. God's going to open up the door for me to say something, and I'll say something to her. Now, all God told me was I wasn't going to be paying support in 30 days. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to say something to her. That's just going to have to how it's going to have to be, right? So a couple weeks later, the guy asked, did you say anything to her yet? I said, timing's not right. The timing is not right. I don't know what it is, but it'll happen. Don't worry about it. Here we was toward the end of the month, and I put this in the back of my head. Once God tells you something, it's done. You don't have to keep asking for it. Just believe you're going to receive it. Once God's told you something, if you can find it in the Word and God's told you, it's done. You just got to receive it. And he just kept pounding me on it. He was the only one that was. I mean, I would have forgot about it for the whole 30 days probably. I probably wouldn't even remember what happened. That I even prayed that prayer if it wasn't for him. Kept pounding me on it. And it was a Sunday. It was like 3 days before this 30 days was up. And she called me and she said, I had my daughter there and we were getting ready for church. And she said, can I come over and do Caitlin's hair? And I'm like, well, I'm a dad. I don't do hair. I try. I can do a ponytail. But I said, sure. So she came over and there's a little bathroom off of the kitchen. I was clearing the back of the house and she hollered. She said, Rob, can you come here? And I was like, all right. And she's like, I walked in the bathroom. She looks at me. She goes, you know, I've been thinking about this. She goes, why don't we just drop support? I never had to say one thing to her. All I had to do was trust in God, trust in the Holy Spirit. Now, after that, you know, I still gave her money voluntarily, but that was a whole lot easier than just being ordered to. I mean, it was, she'd go out and get things for Caitlin, and I would do things like that. It's not that I didn't want to, and it's not that I was even praying for God to take that away, but I was praying for my attitude to change, guys. Sometimes we focus on the wrong thing when we're asking God to change something in our lives. But I want to be Spirit-led every day of my life. And I want to challenge you guys to be Spirit-led every day of your life. I got one more story here and then I'm done. I don't know what my time is, but there's a pastor I was reading about. He was telling a story. He was visiting a church and he was speaking to the congregation. And he felt so strongly from the Lord to give a prophetic word to an elderly lady sitting on the front row. So he said to her, right in front of everybody, I feel so strongly that you are to teach women how to pray for their husbands that don't know Christ. I think you should start a class or a small group in your home. I feel so strongly from the Lord that you know how to do this and that you did it. He did not know if the husband was sick from church that day. He didn't know if the husband was a deacon on the board. He didn't have a clue who this guy was. That's just what the Holy Spirit told me to do. After church, the senior pastor came up to him and said, you need to hear her story. You can't even imagine what you just said. So the pastor went over and talked to him, and her story was, she was married to an unbeliever for 42 years. And she prayed for him to accept Christ 42 years. And one day, on a business trip, she lives in Oklahoma, and he was in Florida on a business trip, and he was killed in a car accident. And about a month later, when he was killed, her phone rang. And she picked it up, and the man on the other phone said, is so-and-so there? She said, no, I'm sorry to tell you this, but he passed away. He said, I'm so sorry to hear that. May I ask how he passed away? Or when he passed away? She said, it was about a month ago. He was killed in a car accident in Florida. The man got very quiet on the phone. He said, do you mind asking what day he passed away. And the lady told him. And he said, "Did you talk to your husband that day?" She said, "No, I did not." And the man said, "Ma'am, I got good news for you." He said, "I'm a businessman and I wear a suit and tie to the office, and God spoke to me so strongly to go out the highways and hitchhike. And I went out there in my suit and tie and put my thumb out, and your husband picked me up. And I led your husband to the Lord that day." He was saved because God answered her prayer. That woman knew how to take hold of God, and she knew how to take hold of her husband and put them together. She never gave up. She never quit. And she kept praying. I would hate to be that person that didn't listen to God, and that man could be in hell right now if I didn't do what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Guys, this is so important. This is not just about us. This is about Christ's kingdom, changing lives. You never know who's watching you, and you never know who God's going to put in your path. So what have you guys overcame? I'm going to leave you with this. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I forgave my dad. It could be, for by the power of the Holy Spirit, I got back together with my ex-wife. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I overcame a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction. What have you guys done with the Holy Spirit? Thank you very much.